The Holy Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches and scatters them. Now, the hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I will lay my life down for the sheep. And I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay my life down in order that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down on my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So this morning, I want to take a moment and show a video, short 30-second video, that helps us understand a little bit more about sheep. So Bob, if you'll cue that up for us. Here we got this young gentleman helping a sheep, and he's trying to get him out of that crevice. There he goes. Oh, he's so happy to be free. He's jumping up for joy, and uh-oh. Yep, that's what sheep do, okay? That's right. You ever find yourself kind of in that same situation? You're kind of stuck, and you're trying to get out, and as soon as you get out, you're so happy, you're like, oh, shoot, now I find myself right back in the same spot again. Oh, man. So we see that sheep are not the most intelligent, or at least they don't have a very good memory, or maybe they just overestimate what they can do. The good thing is, if they are blessed, they have a good shepherd watching over them. Something the video doesn't show is if the person who pulled the sheep out the first time continues to help and getting them out again. We don't know if that person's a good shepherd or a hired hand. Jesus tells us in the first line of this passage that he is the good shepherd. And again, in the middle of the reading, he emphasizes it, saying, I am the good shepherd. In Scripture, prior to this reading, he also says he is the gate, which we'll get to in a little bit. Now, I didn't know much about shepherding, so I began to do some research and found this commentary from Dr. Corey Driver, who's a deacon of the ELCA, but also the director of transformational leadership in the Indiana-Kentucky Synod. And he says, shepherding calls for different tactics, care, and a constant moving of the sheep. So moving the sheep either during a certain time of the year or sometimes between different seasons of the year. During the spring, shepherding involves moving the sheep as new foliage appears. The shepherd would move with the sheep in and through the countryside to provide food. While they were moving, the shepherd's main role was protection. If there was a threat from carnivores, wolves, lions, bears, good shepherds cared for their sheep by protecting them. Think about King David, who began as a shepherd, and that's exactly what he did. He protected his sheep with a sling. He would fight off wild animals and eventually even fought Goliath with that same sling. Dr. Driver says there wasn't much guiding at that point. I mean, the shepherds would pretty much let the sheep go where the food was, unless there was some kind of danger that he wanted to keep them away from. Now, the next season, late summer or fall, as crops were taken out and harvesting was done, farmers would actually open up their fields to the sheep and the shepherds. And several shepherds would bring in their flocks to one field. The sheep would enter the field and eat the rest of the wheat or whatever happened to be planted. And then the sheep would actually leave their organic fertilizer right on the field. It was a win-win for all. As the shepherds got the food for their sheep, the farmers got the fertilizer they needed for their fields. Just a side note, this might explain why some historians and theologians think it's possible that Jesus was actually born in the fall rather than in the winter, because the shepherds were in the fields watching their flocks by night. But anyway, we move from the fall to the winter months, and then the shepherds would need to move them sheep again to a barn or some type of closed-in area or a sheep fold, as you see on the screen here, and then provide hay for them to eat and water from a trough, you know, so they would maintain their life. This movement during the year is why this metaphor of a good shepherd rings true with all those who were listening to Jesus at the time. Everyone knew the shepherds, the good ones, because they would seen these shepherds taking care of their flocks as they moved throughout the year. It was a regular sight in their daily lives. And therefore, Jesus uses this metaphor for the good shepherd. The good shepherd was something that they could relate to because they saw how the good shepherds cared for their sheep. There are many ways to protect those whom you care for. David stepped between his sheep and the wild animals with a sling and used rocks. Jesus, on the other hand, lays down his life for those he protects. We are told this is why God loves Jesus. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. As danger, death, and sin creep close, Jesus lays down his life and takes it back up again to protect us and connect us to God's abundant grace. It doesn't mean that we won't ever go through challenging times, but we will have eternal life and peace in God's presence. Now, as the sheep are grazing on the farmer's field, the threat from wild animals shifted more to humans. I mean, it just makes sense. They were then closer to the towns, not so much out in the countryside. And as people got hungry and cold, you know, sheep weren't all that smart, and mutton tastes pretty good, and wool keeps you pretty warm. So the shepherds needed to protect them from the human element now, who were hungry and in need of a new sweater. So to protect them from the human element, in the evenings, many shepherds would bring their flocks together and place them into one pen or fold. These pens were big enough to hold the sheep, and since the sheep were not the brightest, they wouldn't even put a gate on it. So you can see that area that was left open. But to protect them at night, the shepherds would actually lay down in front of that opening to become a human gate. They would stop the sheep from leaving, but also hear if any human element wanted to get to the sheep. In the verses before our reading today in John 10, we read, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And Jesus calls himself the gate because the sheep found what they needed from the good shepherd food, shelter, life in the pasture. If anyone else came to take the sheep, they were the ones wanting to steal, kill, and destroy the sheep. Jesus, as the gate, is laying down his life for the sheep to keep them safe and alive. As many shepherds placed their sheep into one pen, when it was time to separate them, each shepherd had a unique call or whistle they would use to call their sheep. You know, there was no branding of sheep back then and no ear tags. But these signals the shepherds used during feeding times, especially during the winter months when they were putting out the hay for the sheep to call them and get their attention. And then in case of danger, their call or whistle had a certain cadence to it. Even though the sheep weren't all that bright, they would recognize, oh, that means there's food available, and I will come towards that call and away from danger. So once again, Jesus uses this metaphor as we hear in John 10:16. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice. The metaphor keeps ringing true. Jesus lays down his life to protect us from death and sin. Jesus provides and is the gateway to greener pasture. All sheep will recognize Jesus' voice and call, even those who are not part of this fold. All will listen to his voice, for he owns us and cares for us. And there's more. Jesus is the good shepherd for all seasons. Just as a shepherd cares for the sheep in each season himself. No matter what we're going through, the promise of being forever changed rests with us in the loving arms of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's show that video again. Jesus cares for us enough not to leave us abandoned in the crevice, but to help us out, even though it might look like it hurts, and sometimes it does. But we can't help ourselves. We just, you know, whether it's foolishness, whether it's just not knowing, maybe overestimating what we can do on our own, sometimes we just end up back into that same spot. But no matter how many times we jump back into the crevice of despair, or if we forget that that's where we just came from, or if we think that we can make it over that crevice and fall short, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, will get us out of it again and again. Now, as I first read this passage in my sermon preparation, I thought that Jesus was being very judgmental. You know, especially when it comes to the hired hands. He says they are not the shepherd. They leave the sheep. They run away. They allow the wolf to snatch and scatter them. They don't even care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. So does that mean none of us can measure up? And we don't. But I think of the leaders of our society. And they can't all be perfect. Especially all the time. Not even the hired hands. And I remembered Carol Grady's presentation last Sunday at our adult forum about resiliency and the resilience in a brave new world. And she talked about the amygdala, in which it's part of the brain that controls our alarm system. It warns us if any danger that's coming in. It tells us, or it communicates, am I safe? And if I'm not, then I'm going to sound this alarm. It's our emotional smoke detector. It is formed in the earliest of brain development. It is what tells us to retreat when we are not safe. The problem is we can't process any other thinking while we are in this fight or flight zone. And it sounds to me that Jesus is describing in the hired hands someone caught in this fight or flight area. It happens to everyone. We are all made that way. It's in our DNA. It's as if safety, it is a safety feature that God placed in each one of us for our own protection. You know, we've all been in that situation more than we want to think about, especially in this pandemic that still presses in on us. And it's difficult to think past it. The promise we have in John's reading, though, is not one of judgment of how we have been the hired hands and fallen short or failed of being a good shepherd. Rather, it is the promise of Jesus being with us as the good shepherd and giving us the example of God's top priority. When we find ourselves in leadership and the top priority is to love and to protect those for whom we are responsible. One of my favorite movies is Hacksaw Ridge. Missy and I just watched it again the other night. The film focuses on the World War II experiences of Desmond Dawes, an American pacifist, combat medic, who as a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, who refuses to carry or use a weapon or firearm of any kind. Dawes became the first conscientious objector to be awarded the Medal of Honor by President Harry S. Truman for rescuing 75 soldiers at Hacksaw Ridge. Because of his service above and beyond the call of duty during the Battle of Okinawa, his sergeant and commanding officer accused him of being a coward at first because he would not carry a gun. They asked him, "How can you protect us if you do not have a gun?" Well, during the battle, under heavy gunfire, his whole platoon is pulled out. But as he's the last one off this ridge, he hears the cries of his fellow officers and soldiers. And he figures, "I'll just go back and try to get one." And after he gets that one, he starts praying to God, "Just let me get one more." And then after that one, "Lord, just let me get one more." He faced the fight or flight urge, denied them both, and moved to care and rescue of his fellow soldiers. It's an incredible story, and I'm sorry if I ruined the plot for you, but watch it. So in the opposite direction, you have all this news today about police shootings. And thank God for the good shepherds on the jury of the Derek Chauvin trial and getting the verdict correct. Chauvin may have entered the limited processing of his amygdala, but after a few minutes, he should have removed his knee, if he even really needed it there in the first place. And when justice is served, there will always be circumstances to our actions. And every time a police officer pulls a gun on a person, we are to remember that they are also in that minimal processing zone or mode of fight or flight. This is not an excuse for the police. They should be trained to be more like the Good Shepherd. And I believe most of them are. But it is our calling to be good shepherds to one another and call out when we see wolves among us. We are also given this example to lay down our lives for the others. We are told in 1 John 3, we know love by this, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. For how does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? We are one flock with one shepherd, everyone. And we are given life to the full. We are called to make sure that every sheep is safe within the flock, just as Jesus taught us. That is what we are called to do, brothers and sisters, to be good shepherds to one another. Amen.